You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 7:07 in the morning on a Thursday. Shelly Kice coming up at the top of the hour. Tomorrow's our Pizza Summit. Matt Russell, Rocco McCluskey, Susan from the Gluten Free Girls, Trident Pizza. We're going to talk about all things pizza. We want your calls about your favorite way to make pizza. We want to know your favorite pizza place in the county. We're doing all pizza tomorrow. Screw politics. We're going to do pizza. Much more fun. And we're doing that to celebrate the Tucson Originals' return of their pizza throwdown at Matt Cable's place, Fresco, on Speedway and Country Club. And that's going on the next day. They have a few tickets left. They might do a wait list, but I think there's a few tickets left. We'll find out tomorrow. Also, remember July 12th, we are doing Rocco. We're doing our first happy hour at Rocco's because it's the road ain't done yet. When I heard that it's going to take a 5 more months possibly for the city to finish the widening project on Broadway, so we're going to do our first ever road ain't done. Wingding at Rocco's, and he had a great idea. Instead of a ribbon cutting that we only go halfway, just to celebrate the spirit of the project, we're going to have birthday candles that when he blows them out, they relight themselves, which was just perfect. So, Matthew, are we ready to go? 790-2040. Let's go to Congressman David Schweikert. David, what's up, sir?
You know, if the road is only half done, why not have Rocco's just, you know, do sort of a, you know, an outdoor dining on the road.
This guy has been suffering with this road because it's RTA pays for it, but it's the city's project, right? And The city's so inept. They had no idea what was underneath it, the pipe. They've screwed it every which way. They've been going on, this thing's going on a year and a half or two longer than it should. And they just closed down like almost every business, and Rocco's just been fighting through it. You know, and so we're going to give him a little extra love in July.
That's very kind of you.
Well, welcome back, sir.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
Tell me about this. I know we want to usually wonk out on economy, and there's enough to sob about the economy and what's going on out there. What are you seeing at this gun bill that's going through Senate? What do you think about it?
Well, so far, you know, we spent a bunch of last night reading through particularly the red flag portion.
Yep.
And our best read of it, and, you know, I only have one staff attorney, is it's unconstitutional. It doesn't actually have the proper mechanics for due process. But, you know, it's a Senate bill, so God forbid it actually, you know, follow the Constitution. And then the other thing which has been fascinating is the way that the bill's talked about and what's actually we're seeing in it. It's a money bomb. This is a money bill. It's less of a policy bill. It's, hey, we're going to take chunks of cash, hand it out to states, municipalities, and you guys go do our dirty work. We're going to give you all this money, and that's going to incentivize you to, you know, change your laws to do, you know, restrictions, but we're going to let you guys also do it. So in some ways, that's sort of it's a sneaky way, because remember our rule, it's always about the money.
So what we're saying is we're going to use the slaughter of those kids in Uvalde to send out even more borrowed government money to municipalities that are mostly going to spend it like crap. Oh, and throw more money into an economy that doesn't really need that kind of money in the economy right now.
Yeah, it's more it's policy through bribery. And look, there was an attempt to try to do a mental health section. Great. But we also did a separate mental health bill yesterday that actually already covered. I mean, this may be hard to believe, but often the same ideal, the same drafting gets done 3 or 4 times because this group over here wants to put it in their bill. Over here, it's a freestanding bill. Over here, it came through appropriations, and it's the same damn bill. So much of the mental health section we've already done. And then you have the really uncomfortable things that you'll try to bring up to your Democrat colleagues, and they'll just look at you like, you know, in terror of, okay, are you willing to do a tort liability section. So if a mental health professional wants to, you know, refer someone to be reviewed or this, they can't be sued if they were operating within the code of conduct. And Democrats obviously will never agree to that because the trial bar is their second biggest contributors.
Talk about the danger of the slippery slope of red flag laws.
Well, it's not only the slippery slope. It's first off, it's just if you don't do it absolutely right, it's a constitutional violation. And here's your mechanical. You have a constitutional right, and then over here you also have an additional constitutional right of due process. What happens when you can write a red flag law in a fashion where you get to basically attack two constitutional rights all at the same time?
Right. Second Amendment and the right.
Yeah. I mean, they get to double down at one in one shot.
I remember when they tried to do, remember they were trying to do the no-fly list post 9/11? And I remember one guy, I just always remember this one, is remember Dean Martin, the state treasurer?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, he lives not too far from me.
I could see you and Dean, you know, geeking out on government Dean, financing.
Dean was always very smart and good at those numbers.
Do you remember Dean got tossed on the red, the no-fly zone by Napolitano when she got to?
I mean, could you imagine? But I need you to stop and think about the environment. Let's be dead serious with the sarcasm, if you can do both. How many of our brothers and sisters on the left right now would, if you look at their rhetoric of what they're willing to say on the House floor and committee on, you know, MSNBC, they would basically take almost every conservative and put us on that list. You know, when AOC and those refer to us as terrorists. So you start to also see the politicization not only of language and politics, but now what happens when you start to build enforcement mechanisms, and it's, do we have a societal problem? Absolutely. Are we willing to actually have an adult conversation of what that societal problem is? Absolutely not. And I can send you this, it's a geeky, it's thick, it's beyond my specialty, but I've read it through it twice now. A large academic article where they were trying to study these young males who've done these acts of violence. And they came to the conclusion this was a type of suicide. And then they go through the statistics of how many young males in the United States over the last 24 months, 36 months, have actually engaged in either suicide or acts that almost accomplish the same thing. And the academics in this were actually saying we're approaching it the wrong way. This is a adolescent male, young man, mental health issue leading towards suicidal tendencies, either from lack of family structure or narcotics usage or other things. And unless we're attacking it there, we're just not getting close to actually having an honest conversation, an honest work product on dealing with the problem.
Well, that's refreshing.
And it's both uncomfortable to talk about, but if you take a step backwards, it's right in front of us.
No, we've talked about it on these years. And again, when you talk about those narcotics, right, it's a good portion of those are narcotics given to them by their doctor.
You all remember the interesting study of, 4 or 5 years ago, talking about how many kids we've screwed up because we were hitting them with some of these things at really young ages.
I wrote a column years ago, post the Tucson thing and some other things that were happening, and this guy did this amazing work. I cited him properly, but all these young men from Columbine through past the Tucson incident, and how many of them were on prescription drugs given to by their doctor? It was all these psychotropics.
But
doesn't help.
And I want to take a step backwards. If we really care about what's going on, we can race to the shiny object, which is what the Democrats have done, send out lots of fundraising emails, which is what the Democrats have done, get on television, say crazy things, which the Democrats have done, and we'll do something symbolic that raises money, gives political power, but doesn't make society any safer. or we can do much more difficult. And as a conservative, I may get some answers that I don't like, but at least it would be intellectually honest. And no one's willing to do that, where you take a big room, you put a big table, and you invite freaky smart people to spend their lives researching this, and you study and read and whiteboard and study and read and whiteboard and whiteboard and study and read. And no one's willing to actually do the real deep dive because, A, it doesn't get you reelected, B, doesn't raise you a bunch of money, and C, doesn't get you on television.
Amen. Dave, can you hold on for one break, please?
Sure.
Thanks, sir. We're talking to U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. If you have a comment or a call, 790-2040. Shelley Kice at the top of the hour. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. Oh, here we go. Perfect for an Estee. A little son of a preacher man. Here we go. You are something else. So today is S Day for bump music. So we got David here. He's usually chilling out, trip hopping on some long policy documents. And so Matt found him a little Skylab. Dave, is this okay? Does this
I know. Actually, I love this, and I'm actually familiar with it. Look, something they don't tell you when you run for Congress is if you're going to be on a big boy committee, you're going to spend 5-6 hours a night reading. If you're going to read, you need music like that in the background. You can't have the television on. You can't have, think of it as studying music.
I'm with you. So we've talked about all the reasons why we're here for the price of gas and inflation. We've covered that a lot. We know that even the Chairman Powell said that the idea that everything's Russia's fault isn't actually true, as we all knew, other than the president and his cabal. But now they want to do a tax holiday. What do you think about the gas tax holiday, Dave?
Let's see. What would be the best way I can describe it? Oh, yeah. Asinine. It's absolutely absurd. And look, we all want a lower price, but it doesn't do it. Maryland, actually, we have some fascinating data that Maryland did a version of this. And so for about 2 weeks, the price came down, and then, boom, it went back up because more people were driving. Whether we like it or not, the way markets work is there's this concept of demand destruction. How many times have you heard the term, the solution to high prices? It's high prices. because when prices go up, it brings in more investment, and the more investment creates more supply, and more supply brings the price down. If you want to crash the price of health care, it turns out what the Biden administration and Democrats have done is they've screwed up that economic rule that high prices brings in more investment, except they've made the more investment virtually illegal.
Right.
When you have to file new documents with the Securities and Exchange Commission, when you're going to be scored on did you, invest in things that produce hydrocarbons, the regulatory, the threats to your banking credit lines. So we have high prices. There should be a wave, a tsunami of cash, of investment going into extracting natural gas and hydrocarbons and refining capacity and pipelines. And none of that can happen under all the bureaucracy and administrative rules, the green agenda. And that's the real problem.
When you see the delirious man who says he's the president and various Democrats talking about record profits from oil companies and they're just taking advantage of this and they're all evil, which they might be mildly evil, but what do you say to that?
It's almost like they decided to step back to the late 1970s, grab Jimmy Carter's playbook, and repeat. And you just look at them going, this is absurd. But they would start a war within the left if they told the truth. The truth is very simple. After the 2018 election, when Democrats took control of Congress, they began an agenda of trying to make it much more risky to invest in anything it had to do with oil, gas, refining, extraction, movement of the products. And so it's intellectually lazy to say, well, it was the cancellation of a pipeline. It was a bit. are if the lease permits that are available are on areas that don't have hydrocarbons. Okay, that's partially true. The biggest problem is when we had the huge demand destruction during 2020, during the pandemic, lots of oil fields, lots of the infrastructure shut down. Because remember, oil prices went negative for a while because we didn't have enough storage capacity.
Right.
Now that prices have come back, there should be a wave of money moving back into those areas to reopen those fields. But now you can't get the loan or you can't get the money. So to go and blame oil companies or refiners, well, okay, how many permits is this administration willing to give for new refineries?
Zero.
So you're going to attack big oil's profits. At the same time, you're the one creating scarcity through your restrictions on capital and your regulatory. It's just like no one showed up to their elementary school economics class. But they know what they're doing. This is purposeful. This is quite purposeful.
Again, anyway, David, thank you for what you do. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, and we're running out of time. And have a great weekend. And I finally saw, I was up in your neck of the woods this last weekend, and I finally saw you're putting a picture of the fam on the sign now. So
yeah, well, I do have the cutest little girl ever.
So it's again, good luck in your race, and we'll talk soon, man.
You're very kind. Goodbye, all.
Later, my friend. 7:29 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. A half hour of freeforming, which always gets me in trouble. So coming up next, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk.
A little spirit by request.
That goes from Dr. Neil to Dr. Rahina Romero.
Good call.
Nature's Way by Spirit.
Nature's way of telling you something's wrong.
How about all the dead bodies laying on the street? Would there be a problem there? So Jim Small, who used to write for the Capital Times, he writes for this Arizona Mirror, which is sometimes okay and sometimes it's kind of a rag. But someone up in Phoenix sent this to me. Republicans and Democrats joined forces early to pass a $15.8 billion budget that raises K-12 funding and caps off a week of intense negotiations. After months of trying to craft a bill with just Republican votes, GOP leaders decided to peel off a small number of Democrats. It has nearly $600 million in new permanent funding for public schools, up from $330 million in the original proposal. Now, look, if they pass this with a $600 million in new permanent funding for public schools, if you're a Democrat or a journalist in Tucson, you know what that means, right? You're underfunding education.
Clearly.
So
clearly.
Between Little Timmy and the losers at the Star and Blue Check and all the Democrats around here, putting $600 million into K-12, why are you grossly underfunding education? Do you hate the children? The added funding would include phase-in funding for low-income students starting at $50 million for the upcoming fiscal and up to $100 million in 3 years, and special education. What do you think about that, Tucson? Underfunding. Okay, so I make sure. The budget includes another $200 million for school repairs and $50 million for school safety initiatives. This is not an easy process, but this is what the negotiated budget compromise, said Reginald Boulding, a Phoenix Democrat. And then, of course, they have Rick Grace, Sun City Republican, and Senate Majority Leader, said it's encouraging that we actually came together. Well, of course, you're hardcore. You know, I assume you had a few hardcore either righties or, you know, like a Paul Boyer weenie that didn't want to play ball, or they want their certain thing, or I get it. I know. I figured this is what happens when your majorities are so small, right? This is what you have to do. The minority party convinced Republicans to strip an expansion of the state's tuition organization program out, an expansion of school tuition organization program out of the budget. The budget also includes $1 billion for transportation projects, particularly in rural Arizona. A separate bill spends $335 million to construct a border fence along 17 miles of the border with Mexico. That's interesting. You have a bipartisan budget that has $335 million in for a border fence. So anyway, this is where we're at. Ugenti Rita blasted the plan as grotesque and loaded with pork. John Fillmore, Apache Junction, quote, "I believe this is the best Democratic bloat-filled full of pork budget that our money could ever paid for." He also added that GOP leaders could have achieved this pathetic budget about 60 days ago. So anyway, as Joe Higgins would say, oh no, not Joe Higgins, we got that going for us. Joe Higgins is, I'm sure that'll all work out. Sorry. They also passed, the House had passed an expansion of the empowerment scholarship accounts. So we'll see how that all plays out in relation to that moving towards backpack funding. We already told you that a Arizona family, a Channel 3 survey said that Americans are 10% of Americans are skipping meals to deal with inflation. Also, to add to your headache and everything else, we now have a tampon shortage. Don't know if you knew that either. So get ready for that one. This is by Cronkite News. The latest supply chain problem, a shortage of feminine care products. So what else can we blow up here?
Sally Struthers is going to have to do another ad for along with the formula.
All right. So the question is, who would be a good actress from America that could be the new Sally Struthers that we have?
Or from Europe, because they're the ones that are sending us the care
packages
now, you know.
That's true. They're sending us.
The tables have turned, baby.
I mean, when you have to have the Germans do the reverse Berlin airlift, right, of baby formula. It's too good. So we had a story by Cameron Courier, the heiress to the Courier and Ives empire. No, I'm just kidding. This is a story that says local pediatrician reacts to parents' hesitancy about COVID-19 vaccine for children 5 and under. So they got some dork from the U of A. Okay. So Nathan Price, assistant professor of pediatric infectious diseases, Banner Hospital, said some parents have been waiting for years to get the green light to vaccinate their children for COVID. Really? There's a lot of pandemic fatigue at this time, and a lot of people have made it through unscathed, but a lot of people have not. What a statement. A lot came out okay, and a lot didn't get through unscathed. So think about this. He says, if you're looking at things like risk on one hand, you have a risk with the vaccine, and on the other hand, you have a risk with the disease. If you look at the, I mean, this is amazing. If you look at the numbers out there and you want to avoid risk for your child, he says the better way to do it's with get the vaccine. Then he follows up with, we don't really know those numbers for the really, really young ones, but I don't see any reason why they would be different based on the response from the vaccine and the disease in older children, seeing how the vaccine itself is affecting younger children. What? This is a doctor. I just did the air quotes. And then the next statement, this is from KOLD. The fact is that while it's rare, COVID-19 has killed kids. This is the biggest piece of crap, scared news story I've seen in quite a while. So let's get back to Dr. Nate. Now remember, this, if you read the headline, it's the pediatric... He reacts to parent hesitancy, right? And then he says, again, let's get back to it, right? He says, if you look at the numbers out there and you want to avoid risk for your child, the better way to do it is to get the vaccine. Then here's the best one, Dr. Nate. Now, if you didn't read the last paragraph, you would have said, Well, Dr. Nate, what a confident supporter of pumping this experimental mRNA vaccine with lots of side effects, right? We've talked about it all. Myocarditis, young people having heart attacks, blood clotting, ruining menstrual cycles, reduced sperm count, all these things, right? But Dr. Nate at the end says, quote, "We don't know for sure the long-term effects of these vaccines in people, and we won't know what you get that until we get 20 years down the road," unquote. First line is, you should get the vax. Last paragraph is, we don't really know the effects of these vaccines in people, and we won't know until 20 years down the line. What the hell kind of doctor are we talking about here? Imagine if your doctor told you this. Let's forget it's COVID. Let's say it's something else, right? Look, this is vaccine. If it hurts you, you can't sue anybody. If it hurts your 3-year-old daughter that you love so much, you're crap out of luck. But we won't really know the effects of this for 20 years down the line. So you know something? You should get the vax. Dr. Nathan Price at Banner, thou art a jackass. You basically say get the vax, but at the end you say we don't know the effects of it. And KOLD, horrible that anyone even put this on the air.
Yep.
This is KOLD clickbait for the Rona feared.
And young children are not really... they're not having bad outcomes from COVID.
Right.
Not that I understand, at least.
Again, they tried to do it with that one poor child in Yuma, right? He was like 7 or 8 or 10. I forgot how old this kid was. And they said he died of coronavirus, right? And so you saw, that was the big news. I remember summer of 20. And they said, Corona takes its first child victim, right? But then when you read the whole thing, this kid was in really bad shape. He had really bad things going on, like congenital, from birth, horrible things. And who knows if Rona, with all those comorbidities, probably did die. But what I'm saying is they made it sound like he was a perfectly healthy 9-year-old kid and the Rona got him. Right? And it's bullcrap. It's the fear. We're selling fear. Right? So Dr. Price, you're an idiot. More doctors ruining themselves. Hey, Dr. Price, it's over. Have you seen what's gone on in the last 2 years, bro? Have you seen it? Have you seen that the vaccine's a loser now? Right? They just came out with a study. It wasn't me. It was the Brits. It sounds classier when the Brits say it. Right? But they just said, the Brits, it was a real study. It was the Germans or the Brits. I keep getting these people mixed up with these doctors, okay? And they basically said the mRNA vaccine has messed with people's responses, that they're still responding to the old variant, and they got nothing for the Omicron. And you are better off not getting vaccinated and, I don't know, letting your immune system handle it. That's why everyone I know so far who's gotten sick, when they talk, this is why Dr. Cullen's full of crap at Pima County. Dr. Cullen, with all of your, oh, we have the case counts up. I have friends that work at the U of A. Dr. Carmona is like, we should have the quarantines again and all this stuff because the case thing's going up. Tell me, I want to know what percentage of people getting sick have already been vaxxed. I think that number will shake your boots, vax believers. It's horse crap. Dr. Price, you stink. KOLD, you stink more for putting this piece of trash on the air. So, 7:47 in the morning. Shelly Kais is coming up at the top of the hour. Her and I both moderated some debates this past weekend. She did the state of Arizona GOP with the governor and Senate candidates. And, of course, I did the wonderful CD6 debate with our friends at the Northwest Republican Association. So, we'll talk about our feelings and reflections about such things. Please join us. Wake up, Tucson.
The Smiths. Heaven knows I'm miserable now. Or Frank Sinatra.
Ooh, beautiful. Our buddy Alicia, thanks for playing the Smiths. You guys are the best. Bevan Catalina says TEP's up there with big trucks and lots of metal poles to fix the power lines that went down. So.
Christopher, one thing I'll never understand this place about all the wires that are in the air instead of in the ground. I think the people that do the lines have a good union or something.
Or TEP has thrown around enough money over the last three decades in relation to politics and other things.
Or that.
For people to get away with crap.
Somebody told me a year or so ago that he thought it was a union thing, but it's astounding, especially in town. Don't get it. I don't get it. Because this time of year, you stock
so,
up
so
on...
So why does TEP and Cox Communications play throw this money around like they do, right? And the TEP threw money, their PAC threw money at Bronson, right? Right? It's not because Bronson's going to make the place more economically viable and they're going to make more money on electricity, right? Is you gotta grease the palms of the people. So when all these people, like, you know, the neighborhoods are all worried about the TEP lines, that's already a done deal. Look at the 5G people. They're just totally shoved into the toilet because in the end, the cell phone companies and the cable companies got way more juice than most of these other people, right? And the curse is right. It's much cheaper to put it in the air, right? Of course it is. That's why you grease the palms, right, of the people in power.
Just more of a recurring cost,
right?
On maintaining.
And then it's
it
not even just the idea that they directly support them in their campaign, right? How much money does TEP throw around all these nonprofits, right? Right, and so part of that is, if there's a nonprofit that a certain elected official might like, and you get smart to it, you throw more money to the nonprofits that they like. I mean, this is not hard, right? I remember a young lady who used to work with me and Joe in the very early days of the struggle to try to fix Tucson, and she went to go work for one of these utilities, and she said, "I can't meet with you guys anymore." We're like, "Why?" She goes, "Because my job now is to make sure the city of Tucson and the county, when we ask for easements and things like that, do what we ask them to do. And I'm out because there's a conflict of interest. I'm going to make money trying to convince them to not bother us." Right. So that's what we're at. So, all right. Let's see what else we got here. Sergio just texted me on this. New power lines are buried. New subdivisions, no poles. Old parts of town have the old poles. And then the annoying neighborhood association make it a pain in the butt to do anything.
I got one for you. Okay, they're doing all this work along Grant, allegedly. But they got a second set of metal towers along. So now, not only one ugly set of towers, now you got a double stack set of ugly towers along Grant. There's an example. And they're doing improvements along Grant, allegedly.
Again, anything that you see Cox Communications or TEP supporting, run the other way. That's what I've learned. Right? They're all doing the trio thing and all that jazz. Just losers. I remember we had one of my favorite nonprofits came on the show, and the guy from Joe Barrio, whatever his name was, came on from TEP.
Former star editor.
And I literally ignored him the entire interview and talked to the other person. And you're like, so later someone calls and goes, "Hey, you know that guy Joe was on the air, right?" I go, "Yeah, I know." There TEP is not a positive force in this community. No matter how much the net for supporting the powers that be so they get their lines done the way they want to get done, the negative effect of that of those people is way more than whatever they gave to your nonprofit. It's a joke. This is a great memory. I love this memory. It was from 2020. And you guys remember we did Drive for the Blue? This is the event that we did a fundraiser in the morning for the police Foundation. 3 hours. You guys did amazing, as always. And then remember we were going to show up, and we showed up at 5 whatever time in the evening, and you guys drove around the stations of the police department honking for them. That was 2 years ago yesterday. You guys did that on June 22nd. I just saw the memory. I
remember going to one up in Oro Valley around this time in 2020 as well.
Yeah,
that was really neat.
Yeah, I mean, I was, I mean, I, you, you made
And at that time, the cops needed to see support. They really, because they were getting beaten up nationally and locally.
Absolutely. You guys, as I said, my first line of my memory here is this talk show guy is actually speechless because you guys blew me away. So, all right. I see Shelly Kice warming up. She's doing her Pilates in the green room here. So let's get, she's all getting ready. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.